remain standing this morning, please, for the reading of the Word of God. I appreciate all of you being here. I've enjoyed the morning. And I'll just say it's been a good day for Brother Hall. And it's good to be here. Like Dr. Don Green said, when you get my age, it's good to be anywhere. And so it's good to be here this morning. I'm not quite his age, but it is good to be here in the Lord's house this morning. I've enjoyed the singing, the Sunday school, and I certainly hope the Lord will give us something today from the Word of God. Now tonight we're going to be right back in the book of Philippians, and we're going to pick up with verse number 1 and 2, and preaching out of verse number 1 actually tonight. Probably won't get into verse number 2, and probably may not say a whole lot about verse number 2, but primarily preaching out of verse number 1 out of Philippians in the service. Now I think I'm really going to enjoy our studies in the book of Philippians. It's a great book. It's not a large book, but I'm going to tell you, it is a large book in the Bible. It's got a great deal to say about practical Christian living, and it's filled up with it. If there's one thing we need to learn today, it's how to get back to practical Christianity. I think we've been taught to practice Christianity really a little contrary to what the Bible teaches. And, and I really wonder myself, I've talked to my wife about it, how far am I really, myself, from what old-time religion ought to be? And I look back at some of the old-timers and their writings and things, and I really wonder, Lord, I can see a difference, and I wonder, have we drifted that far? Have we made that great of a change? In our own lives and in the way we worship in the house of God compared to what it used to be. All right, a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning in the Word of God to you. Do I have it on, Brother Robert? I believe I do. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 15. A very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Now I want to begin reading in verse number 11. I preached out of this a number of times, but never really or on the thought that I'm going to be using on it in the morning hour this morning. Beginning in verse number 11, and the Lord is speaking here, and he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I never read that without thinking of Psalm 142 and verse 4, and no man cared for my soul, what the psalmist said. Verse number 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's, And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. Do you know something? This is not in my message at all. But the father never one time mentions the boy's sin. He said, I've sinned. And the father never even mentioned it. Never said a thing about it. He simply said, but the father said to his hired servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the morning hour that you've given us today. I thank you, Lord, for my family that's here with us, gathered in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for your people. They've been so gracious and kind to Brother and Sister Hall now these 24 years that we've occupied this pulpit, and I'm grateful for it. I pray you'll bless them for the blessings they've bestowed upon us. Bless them, Lord, as they walk in your way and be obedient to the Word of God. Help them and give them the grace and divine help they need. We do pray for the marathon in the coming week. And Lord, that you'd bless it and touch hearts in here and then touch hearts out there. Souls being saved and God's people meeting our need once again to keep the gospel going out over the airways. Grant us liberty here in the house of God now. I pray for power and unction and liberty to speak that which you've laid upon my heart. Say it with boldness and without fear of man. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, we're living in a changing society. Everything around us is changing in this world that we're living in. I'm 65 years old, and I've seen a lot of change take place down through the years of time. I've seen my house go from kerosene lamps. Brother Gray preaching on those virgins this morning. I knew exactly what he was talking about when they said arise. They arose and trimmed their lamps. I've trimmed many of them little wicks in them lamps myself with a pair of scissors and taken a piece of newspaper, that little globe that sat on it, because it would turn dark and black from the soot, and clean it out real good and put it on back down on there where the lamp would put out more light. So I know where he's coming from. Now we got all you got to do is hit a switch. This light comes on, hit another one, this one goes off, push a button, air conditioner comes on, push another button, the heat comes on. And it's amazing to me how you get heat and air out of the same thing. But I'm telling you, we are living in a changing world. Everything, I mean, the automobiles, look how they've changed. They went from made out of heavy material and good material and cheap vehicles, being made out of junk, an expensive vehicle. Amen. That's right. And so things are changing. And people used to live in small homes. Now they live in big homes. I could go on, but that's not my thought this morning. It's part of the thought. But I want to preach on this subject this morning. And I want you to please give heed to what I'm saying and listen to Brother Hall as good as you can. But I want to try to preach this morning on this thought. Daddy, don't change. Daddy, don't change. You know, the story of these two sons follow the story of course, the lost sheep that the shepherd went out on the mountains and found. And when he found him, he brought him home, cradled in his arms. And there was great rejoicing over that one little sheep that had been found, more so than over the 99 that were left in the fold. And then there's the story of the lost coin, the lost silver. The Bible said the woman, she turned on a light and she swept and cleaned the house in search of that coin. She searched through the dark and she searched through the dirt. But she found that coin, and when she found it, she rejoiced again. And again the Lord said how much they rejoiced over one sinner that repents. Amen. And then comes the story of these two sons. And I know you're well acquainted with the story, but let me repeat it just for a little bit. The Bible said that there was a certain man that had two sons. One of them, of course, younger than the other one. And as time drew on, the younger son said unto his father, he said, divide unto us our inheritance, basically. And so the father did that. And he divided unto them his living. Now, you know, I want you to understand when it says he divided unto him his living, that did not deplete the wealth of the father one bit. His living is referring to the two boys. He gave them each enough to live on for the rest of their life. And one of them was the homeboy, was really the Pharisee, But the youngest of the two that demanded of his father to give him the portion of his goods, the Bible said that he took that which was given unto him and made his trip and journey not many days after that into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, you know, I have no earthly idea why that young man wanted to leave home. It would appear to me that he had everything that anybody could ever ask for. His father was good to him. Apparently, his father had a considerable amount of money. In speaking of things in those days, he had servants and had cattle and sheep, no doubt, and had money laid back to take care of his own boys for the rest of their life. And I don't know why this boy, he may have gotten dissatisfied with the way things were going on around the house. He may have gotten, you know, he may have gotten upset, or he may have just, in plain hillbilly words, he may have gotten tired of being under the authority of mommy and daddy. And, you know, I'll say to you young kids in here today that you might as well get used to being under authority. There's never going to be a time in your life nor my life, either one, that you're not going to be under somebody's authority. Whether it be mom and daddy, whether it be the Lord, whether it be a foreman or a supervisor at work, or you men, whether it be under your wives. Amen. That's right. But you're going to be under authority. There's no question about that. And the young man may have gotten upset with that authority that he was under. So he took that which his father gave him and went into a far country. And I'm going to be real brief this morning. The young man may have sought some liberty that he thought would bring him happiness. You know, I think young people are that way today. Living at home with the parents, and they're under the control and leadership of their mom and daddy, and they really don't enjoy that because of the authority. And they're looking for what they think is some liberty that will bring them happiness. But you know, the liberty this boy sought that he thought would bring him happiness just sunk him deeper down into bondage. He went in bondage into that far country. He was out there. He was just at their demand, you know, and even he fell under bondage under a man of that country, and he put him out in a hog lot feeding swine. And so that young man may have just left and sought some liberty that he thought would make him happy. But I don't find anything in my text that made that young boy happy until he got back to the father's house. And, you know, it's the same way with us. If we drift and stray from the father's house, we'll find no happiness whatsoever until we get back there. Whether you be a young person or a middle age or what, there is no happiness in the world. There is no happiness in a far country. If you think I'm telling you wrong, wait till you get to heaven and ask Naomi and Elimelech, and they'll tell you if they had great happiness when they went down into the land of Moab. It wasn't there. They found nothing but trouble. And not happiness. And so this boy may have left home with the idea, you know, that I'm going to get out under the authority of mom and daddy, I'm going to find a place of liberty where I'll have some happiness. Like I said, I heard a young man say one time, he said, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll join the army. And I asked him, I said, what are you going to join the army for? And he said, well, he said, I want to try to get out from under a lot of the authority I'm under at home. Well, I won't say something to you, friend. You're not going to get out under any authority in the army. When I jumped off of that bus at Fort Knox, and that fella got about 2 inches in my face, and if I smiled, he bit the end of my nose off. I learned right quick there was no liberty under Uncle Sam. You got up when they wanted you to get up. You went to bed at what time they wanted you to go to bed. You eat when they wanted you to eat. You did everything that they wanted you to do when they wanted you to do it. Now, if you think that is more liberty than what you've got at home, I've got news for you. There's something wrong with your mind. You need examined carefully. You need examined real carefully. And so, you know, he may have sought some liberty that he thought would bring him happiness. Or he may have sought a life. He may have sought a life that he wanted. and thought that it would be a better life. But I don't believe he found a better life when he got down there. You know, kids, there's no greater life. I learned this as a young boy. There's no greater life than being at home with mom and daddy. Somebody may have been with me, one of these fellas, and was in down at the gun store the other day. And there was a fellow left out of there, and one of the men was in there and said, "You know, there's something wrong with that guy." And I didn't know the man, and that was left, and I asked the fellow, I said, "What's wrong with him?" And he said, "That guy is 36 years old, and he's still living at home." And I thought, well, what's wrong with that? You know, I didn't find a whole lot wrong with that. If that boy finds peace and tranquility living at home at 36 years old, now, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I say there's a lot more protection and a lot more provisions and a lot more comfort and a lot more compassion at the Father's house than you're going to find in the far country. And so don't think you're going to go into that country and find a life that you think is going to be there. I'm just telling you, it is not it's not like you think it is out there. It's all you do. And some of you that are ready to get married at 15 years old, you better back up a little bit. Because I'm telling you, if you think you've got hard times now, you wait till you start paying the bills. Now, you young men in here can get in your daddy's car and burn that rubber off of those tires. But I'm going to tell you something and laugh about it and have a good time. But you'll find out it's a different story when you start buying the tires. Amen. That's right. You can wrap around a tree and laugh about it, but it'll be a whole life. It won't be as funny. Won't be, hey, when you start buying the insurance. Well, here, there's nothing wrong with living at home. And this boy, apparently, he just wanted a life that was different from what he was used to at living at home. Or the authority that he tried to escape, it only got worse. It only got worse. It only got worse. He fell deeper into bondage in the country, and the man that he worked for, things just grew worse. And I'm trying to get to my message, really. And, you know, the Bible said that he spent everything that he had. And a famine hit that country. And that young man began to be in want. And here's the sad part about it. No man cared for his soul. Amen. Now, if he spent his life on money on riotous living, that tells me there had to be somebody around him. He wasn't alone. You don't go out and spend your money on riotous living alone. May I say that there's not many drunks that like to get drunk by themselves. They enjoy the party where everybody's at. So I'm sure there was people around this young man. But the Bible said that when his money was gone, the friends were gone. And not only were they gone, they didn't care for his soul. No man cared for him. He was broke and they could care less. They had used him and gotten from him what they wanted to get from him. And I'll tell you what he got, a goose egg. He turned up a zero. He got absolutely nothing. And I'm telling you, that's what you'll get. That's what you'll get. Now, I'm going to get to the message in a minute. But the Bible said that he got so bad he would eat those husks that the swine did eat. But that next verse said, and when he came to himself, now, I want to ask you a question. What made that young man come to himself? Oh, we know the Holy Spirit was dealing with that boy. There's no doubt about that. But I want to ask you something. What made that boy come to himself? Do you know the first thing that he said when he came to himself? He said, "Hey, the hired servants have got bread and to spare in my father's house, and I'm down here hungry." He said, "The servants up there are better off than what I am down here." So what I'm simply saying is that the first thing that that young boy thought about was how good it was at the Father's house and how much better it was at the Father's house than it was where he was living. Now I want to ask you a question here. And I'm getting ready to get into my message. What if Daddy had changed? What if Daddy's life had changed a great deal from what it was when the boy left? Would he have any incentive at all to go home? I'm getting there. Just stay with me. The point I'm trying to make is this. If it's as bad in Daddy's house as it is in his house, then he has no reason, no incentive, no purpose whatsoever for going home. That's why I'm saying, Mom and Daddy, you better keep the house clean. And if little Johnny or little Susie departs from your home, that is when they take time to look back, they're going to see a difference from where they are to what they have. And they're going to see a difference from what they could have to what they do have. There has got to be an incentive there somewhere, and it was a compassion and love and mercy that was at the Father's house that he did not find in the hog pen in the far country. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you, if Daddy had changed, what would he have to look forward to? If Daddy went back to drinking, went back to playing cards, went back to whore hopping, went back to living the same old life, what would the boy had to look forward to? There would have been no change. He'd have had nothing to look forward to. Amen. If there would have been a change. But there wasn't a change.
Right.
Buddy, when he remembered the Father's house, he realized that Daddy's house was just like it was when he left.
Amen.
Been no change at all in Daddy's house. None. None whatsoever. Now you stay right with me. I believe as that boy looked back, I want to look at the father for a minute. I look and I see a father's, the longing of the father for the son to return. I can't help but to believe that Daddy stood and had a longing in his heart for that boy to return home. There is not a parent in here or out by the radio that has brought a child into this world, if they're halfway right with God, there will be a longing in their heart for the return of that boy. I'm telling you, it is heartbreaking to see a child in the far country. We were just talking about out in the foyer, and I'm not mentioning any names, but Brother Steve and Brother Doug and myself were talking, and I didn't even know this because I'd heard a different story. But there was a missionary that had come home, and the reason he come home was because his boy had a problem with the girls out on the field. Well, I wonder if Daddy had been that way, would that boy have been any incentive at all? Will he ever, if he's not already gotten right, if Daddy would follow that boy instead of the boy following Daddy, would that boy have any incentive at all to come home? I tell you, wouldn't have a bit. If Daddy is a whoremonger like he's a whoremonger, if Daddy's a skirt chaser like he's a skirt chaser, he'll have no reason at all to go back where Daddy's at. There has got to be a difference in the home and the world. It cannot be the same. They don't mix. You can't straddle the fence, ladies and gentlemen. It's one way or the other. And I'm telling you that your children, they don't have to be as big as you think they do to see a difference in your life, buddy. They live with you and they know when you're changing. They know how you're changing. They know why you're changing. They know what you used to be and they know what you are now. Is that right? Am I right or not? I believe I'm right. I believe that father had a longing. Boy, I mean, his heart was hurting. He was broken to see that boy. Don't say a thing about mama here. But mama, can I throw one in at you too? I'll tell you, there's not a male child or a girl child that has ever come out of your womb that if you're living for God now, like the father was, if they departed from you, you're going to have that same broken heart and longing in your soul for the return of that child. I'm going to say sometimes men get by with it a little easier, and boys make it a little easier. But I'm going to tell you, if it's a little girl, It's even worse. Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Maybe you've never been there yet. Right. Come on in. I mean, we're living in a society, ladies and gentlemen, where a woman is not safe on the street. Much less a little girl. Hey, I would never give my child, whether it be a daughter or whether it be a son, I would never, never in my life just turn them loose in an automobile, say, there you are, help yourself, go and do as you please, buddy. Not in 1,000,000 years, because I know what they are and I know what's in their heart and I know a little bit about the flesh and I know what it can lead to and I'm not going to let it lead that way. And I'm going to tell you what, if it does get that way, you better make sure there's something right at the house for them to look back to. Hey, daddy, don't change. Daddy, don't change. Amen. Say, right with God, walk with God. Say, keep that holy character that God has implanted into your soul. Amen. That's right. And so the father was longing for that son's return. The father was looking for that son's return. And I'm going to tell you how I know. But I said, when the boy turned to come home, the Bible said the father saw him. Far off, the father saw him. That tells me he was looking for him. He must have knew something that somebody else might not know. I think God gives daddies that. And ladies, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but God's made that man the leader, the leader of that home. He's made the man the head of that home. And I'm gonna tell you, the Lord will tell some things to that man. I believe that man had a real idea that someday that boy would be back. And listen carefully now. I'm reading this in, but it just may have been that daddy at one time or another, before he got saved, had been down there. He may have been down there and realized, hey, I've been there and I know what it's like. And if that boy's got as much sense as I think he has, there'll come a day when he'll look back to the daddy's house and, hey, he's coming back. And why, I want to make sure that I'm looking for him and waiting on him and praying for him and hoping that he'll come back. Amen. That's right. I don't know about you, but I want my kids to turn out right. And hey, they'll never do it, daddy, unless you set the right example before them. They'll never do it, I'm telling you, mommy. You've got to set that right example before them. And I don't care what nobody said. I believe that Bible. That Bible said, train up a child in the way they ought to go, and when they are old, they will not, underline that, will not depart from it. And that's Bible, whether you like it or whether I like it. Whether you don't like it or whether I don't like it. That's what God said. Amen. That's right. Now, the Father was looking for him. I won't say thirdly. I believe the Father still loved that boy. Down in that hog pen. He had went as deep into sin as a man could go. But daddy still loved him. And I'm going to tell you something, mommy and daddies. I don't care how deep they get in sin, you're going to love them. And hey, I don't care how deep, if my kids get into sin, I don't care how deep, I don't want them to, but if I don't care how deep they get into it, Grandpa will still love them. They're mine. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? And yours are yours. And if you don't love them, even though they are in sin, you ain't worth a flip of a used bugger. I'm not going to take you out and line you up in the firing squad, bless God, and blow your brains out. If Christ loves sinners, I'm telling it right. I know some of you don't like that. And I'm telling you, if Christ loved you and I as deep as we were in sin and came for us, hey, how much more should we love our own children that have gone down that pathway of life? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus didn't change one bit to save us. Amen. He made the Father's house look real good to us. Amen. He didn't have to change to save us. I'm going to tell you what saved us. When we looked at ourselves like this boy, and realize that we were marred in the muck of sin. And the harder we tried, the deeper we sank and couldn't get out. That's right. But yet He loved us while we were there. And thank God there came a day when we looked to Him and realized that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He loved us, come on, some of you are going to get upset now. If He loved us before the foundation of the world, surely to God, He loves us yet, amen. Yeah. And if while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, how much more will He care for us if we're a child of God? Amen. Amen. That's right, Brother Hall. I'll give you a mark on that. And so the Father, hey, He still loved that Son. I want to say, hey, the Father's life had not changed either. Father's life, His life hadn't changed. You don't see a thing here that says anything about Him changing anywhere. Apparently, when the boy left, the father had plenty. He divided unto both of them his living. He gave the older son and the younger son both enough to live a lifetime off of. And it didn't deplete 1 ounce from his wealth. He still had plenty to go around. Somebody said, how do you know that? Of course, when the younger son come home, hey, and repented and come home, he just looked at the servant and said, hey, go bring a robe, put on this boy. Get a ring, put on his finger. Get some shoes on his feet. Hey, and wash the muck off of his feet. And put some shoes on his feet. And while you're at it, I'll put up a fatted calf. Get that fatted calf out and get it ready. Because he that was lost is found and he that was dead is alive again forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now, that's right. The Father's life hadn't changed a bit. He was the same thing now as He was when the boy left. Now, I want to mention these five things. And I'm done. Daddy, whatever you do, don't change your convictions. Amen. Boy, I'm seeing it going on all over the country. Amen. People that once had particular convictions in their life, amen, they don't have it anymore. I told Jordan and Titus this. They stayed with us a couple of nights. And I told them, I said, I know that some of our people have televisions in their house. But I don't know that we'll meet one soul. I don't know that there'll be one soul in hell because they own a television set. I can't condone them. I don't have one and I don't want one. And I know why. You know why I won't have one? I know my flesh. I know my flesh. They wouldn't be a ball game on, son. I wouldn't watch it. I'm talking about baseball. I know my flesh. But I'm going to tell you, some folks had it, got rid of it, and got it back. You know what you've done? You've changed. And I'm going to tell you what. Your youngins have noticed that change. They've seen that change, and they know that change. I told them kids, I said, hey, I said, probably, in fact, I know that, I said, you probably got a television. But I said, do you think that makes Grandpa love you any less? I'd lay my life down for him. My own children may have television. Do you think Daddy loves them any less? I'd lay my life down for him. I'd rather they didn't. But I'm going to tell you what, if I went out and got one, they'd never have an incentive to get rid of theirs. Maybe someday they will again. But if they don't, I'm not going to quit loving them. I can tell you that right now. I'm not going to quit loving them. Now I'm not going to quit loving you. I'd hope to God that you get rid of it. But if you don't, I'm not going to quit loving you over it. Convictions. That's right. Don't change your convictions, whatever you do. Well, people used to have convictions about ladies having long hair. Now they don't have it no more. They bob it and cut it off. They used to have convictions about the length of the dress, and they don't anymore. They used to have convictions about how tight their clothes were worn. They used to wear loose-fitting clothing. Now they don't anymore. But I'm going to tell you, young ladies, if you see mama wearing it, there'll never be an incentive, mama, for them to get right about it.
Amen.
Don't change.
Amen.
By the way, the Bible said, don't be given, don't meddle with the man that is given to change. That's not talking about nickels and dimes either. Are you listening? Don't change your convictions. Man, I'll tell you, once you let down your guard, that old devil hops straight out of your back. I'm going to tell you, he's a pretty tough taskmaster. He's hard on you. He's hard on me. He's hard on us. Won't it be a wonderful day when Jesus casts him into a lake of fire? And we're not plagued by his deceptions and his lies any longer. And we were just talking the other day in the office, Brother Gray and Brother Steve and I. You do understand this, that everything God's got, the devil imitates it. Everything. Satan's got a religion. He's got his preachers. He's got his altars. He's got his lifestyle. Everything. He mimics God in everything.
Amen.
Now, don't change your convictions. I won't say number two. Daddy, Mommy, don't change your companions.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, I'm seeing all the time people running with a crowd that ought not to be.
Amen.
You know, Mrs. Hall and I took Jordan and Titus to Evansville. We went and got some lunch, whatever you want to call it, mid-afternoon, whatever it was. But then we went over by the mall. And you can ask Brother Titus what I'm telling you. I told him, I said, I've got to get out of this place. I couldn't have. It wasn't necessarily, but I mean, people in there, sodomites, men with pink hair, dressed like a girl, talk like one. But what was really bothering me was the crowd. I said, I'm just telling you. I said, Titus, I can't take that. I'm going to have to get out of here. He said, I got your back. I said, thank God for that. I'm glad somebody had. And you know what he wanted to do? He said, he told Jordan, he said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to pick a fight with somebody just to watch your old poppy bust him with that cane. I don't know about that. Hey, but listen, Daddy, don't change your companions. Stay with the people of God. I mean, hey, you've got a church to fellowship with. If your family's saved, you've got a family to fellowship with. And I don't know where some of you know tonight, if you want to, you got a pastor you can fellowship with. I'm in the phone book. All you got to do is call me anytime. Hey, by the way, I might enjoy coming by some of his house and having dinner with you sometime. Hint, 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 hint. Don't change your companions. What if this little boy looked back and said, boy, Daddy used to run with some real holy people. He used to go to church every Sunday. I mean, every service he was there. But you know what? He's back downtown running with that crowd that same old crowd he used to run with. He's running with folks that smoke and cuss and chew, don't dress right. What would he have to go back to? He said, these people down here are doing the same thing he's doing up there. What do I want to go back up there for? I'll just stay down here. No, he saw a difference in Daddy's house. Now, I want to say this too. Hey, don't change your church. I'm telling you, I'm amazed at the numbers that are looking for entertainment. They don't want the preaching of that Bible. As far as I know, it doesn't say, of course, it doesn't say anything about church here, but as far as I know, Daddy apparently didn't change church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can church hop all you want to.
That's right.
But when your youngins grow up, you know what you're teaching them?
Yeah.
to church hop.
That's right.
I'll find this one that does something a little differently. Well, I'll find something that does something a little differently. If you're looking for the perfect church, honey, don't join it, because when you do, you'll foul it up. That's a polite way of saying they ain't no perfect ones.
Right.
Well, like the way the preacher preaches. Well, maybe not. But I guarantee you, I don't care where you go, you'll find something wrong with the preacher there as well.
That's right.
I have. I don't know anybody but me that I like to hear preach. No, seriously. Don't change churches. Buddy, I'm telling you, there's folks around here that would church hop in a minute.
Right.
From one place to another, looking for something a little different. Some of them are looking for something for the children. We had a lady call her the other day, and Brother Gray answered the phone. And she said, now, is the pastor there? And Brother Gray said, yes, ma'am, he is, but he's not available for the phone right now. Can I take a message? And she said, well, could I speak to the person that handles the youth department, the young people? And Brother Gray said, ma'am, that would be the pastor, and he's not available right now. You know what? I've had to call me and want to send a group of teenagers in here to teach our teenagers how to live. I'm going to tell you, you need to teach a teenager how to live. You, mama and daddy. God gave you that responsibility. I told my son when I was out there the last time, he's got five of them like a staircase, and I said, son, I'm looking you right in your eyeballs and telling you, you have got a grave responsibility before you. You brought them into the world, raise them right. And keep the home how it ought to be. And if there's something there that ought not to be, clean it up. Amen. Thank you, Brother Hall.
Amen.
That's right. So don't change churches. Don't be like carry and flip-flop and do the church house bop or whatever it is. Don't flip-flop from pillar to post, in other words.
Amen.
Now, I want to say also, don't change your clothing standards. God, have mercy.
Amen.
Lord, I'm telling you, I have seen it all. Now I'm talking about in Baptist churches.
Yes, sir.
I've seen dress standards go down the tube.
Yeah.
And if mom and daddy changes them,
right.
What if that boy would have looked to the father and said, I know what I'll do, I'll go back to the... When I left, daddy wasn't wearing Bermudas. When I left, daddy wasn't wearing a muscle shirt. He didn't have his belly hanging out and showing his navel to everybody in the country. But now he does, so hey, he's just like they were. What's the reason he's going back to the Father's house? I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I told you this a while ago, I'll tell you again, that's why Christ was holy. He died holy to make men holy. And he stayed holy to show us the difference between righteousness and sinfulness. Amen. That's his goodness and mercy and compassion and love and holiness is what draws us to him. Do you think if that boy looked up there and saw a hog pen like he was in and said, well, there's another hog pen up there I can go get in. He wouldn't have went back. I'm just saying, daddy, don't change. Mama, don't change them clothing standards.
Amen.
Keep them legs covered up.
Amen.
Don't wear something so tight that you can save a wrinkle and curve in your body.
Right.
Save that for your husband. That's right.
Amen.
Somebody said, why? Because flesh is flesh. So don't change your clothing standards. And I'm closing with this. Don't change your closet standards.
Amen.
I'm going to say, Peter, what do you mean your closet standards? I'm talking about prayer closet. There used to be a time when mommies and daddies get in a closet and pray. Weep tears till they ran down their cheeks. Praying for the family and their children, the church, souls and sinners to be saved. And I'm telling you, we don't see many days like that. These men, by the way, are going to meet Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1 o'clock like we did before the other marathon. And they're going to have prayer and read their Bibles for an hour here in the church. Anybody that wants to come to the church and join in that, you're welcome to come. If you want to do it at home, you're welcome to do it at home. And I told them, Lord, be in my helper at the 1 o'clock their time if I can. If I'm driving, I'll still, don't tell Miss Hall I said this, I'll still try my best to put my mind in the prayer closet and pray for the same things you're praying for. Now, she may not like that because she's afraid of me driving the way it is. But I get to pray and be like that police officer stopped me up over the bowling alley. He said, preacher, you know how fast you was running? I said, no, sir, I'll be honest with you, I was praying. He said, well, I'm not going to give you a ticket, but he said, next time, keep you praying at home or in the church, not in the car. He said, you was running about 12, 15 miles over the speed limit. But don't change the closet. You can never convince me the Father wasn't praying for that boy. If he was looking and longing, he had to realize somehow what that boy had done. He may have even gotten word with it because the elder brother said, hey, he's at home and you've killed the fatted calf for him. And said he's went down into that country and spent everything on riotous living. I wonder how that boy knew that. Apparently word had come home how the boy was living. I'm telling you something, young people. It'll get back home to mommy and daddy. If you think you can hide it, you are dumber than a box of rocks, son. They know. They're not ignorant. They know. But don't change. Don't change. The Father did not change. And He gave that boy an incentive to come home. When he saw the difference between there and the Father's house. You know when he got there? He said, I'm just going to tell my Father. He said, I'm going to tell him, say, Father, I've sinned against God and before you. I don't even deserve to be called your son. Just make me a servant. The very first words that come out of the Father's house, bring the best robe that you got. Before that, the Father ran and had compassion and fell on the boy's neck and kissed him. He loved him. And he brought a robe, the best robe, the best robe. It had to be one of the Father's robes. Brought the best robe and put it on that boy. Said, by the way, get a ring and put it on his finger. And put some shoes on his feet. He's barefooted. And go get that calf. Said, we're getting ready to have a time. And they began to make merry. Why? Because that boy that was lost is found. That boy that was dead is alive. I'm going to tell you what. You can jump up and down. There's a lot of people probably listening to me out by the radio this morning. You've probably had a child that's been out in the world and has come home, and I'll guarantee you, you jumped up and down with joy when you saw that child knocking, or heard that child knocking on your front door. You better believe it. Don't change, Daddy. Don't change, Mama. If you do, they'll have no reason to ever get right and come home. Let's stand together.